the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Yo, Westside Goth out here from California, which is not currently in the fall season. It's basically summertime here, and it's fucking insane. Welcome to Ran and Wrestling, where we talk about wrestling. Obviously with me, I got Doomsday. Tell me it's, tell me it's autumn out there.
Yeah, that's right. It's autumn. It's cold. It's like 60 fucking degrees. It's hoodie season.
Oh god, that sounds great.
It's fucking hoodie season. I love it.
I've been trying to wear my jacket, but then like halfway through the day, like when I leave from work, it's like too fucking hot for
me. I hate summer because it's not fall or spring, where I could wear a light jacket or a hoodie and feel fantastic, and I'm not sweating my ass off. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. So, anything happening before we jump into this?
I went to City Hall once today. It was pretty ancient.
I live in like a small little, we're officially a town or a city because we're in the middle of two larger cities. So basically, City Hall is like a few blocks up. It's very small building next to the very small library, and I'm like, this is it? Whatever, and then just walk right by.
I live in Pikesville, which is like a suburb in Baltimore County, and so I always take the metro into the city, and I work at the municipal building next to City Hall. So I'm always walking past it, but never stepped foot in it. It's a pretty good-looking building, but got some old ass shit. Elevators in the City Hall's old as dirt, and it's funny because it looks old as dirt and it works terribly. And same thing with municipal building, the place I work at. Except the inside of the elevators look nice as shit, but like the way it's fucking garbage. There's like four elevators. We've only had three working since I started there. And at some point, they will malfunction, and they'll be down to two. And sometimes they'll malfunction, and we be down to one. Yes, and that happens, like, every other week that it gets, like, really bad. But, I digress.
I don't think the City Hall by my house has a second floor.
I think the one I work at is six floors? I don't know.
Well, that's when you know you're in an area that has a population of more than, like, 100 people. But, like, literally, I'm sitting right in front of bigger cities in California, Torrance, which, if I think I mentioned them before, NWA recorded their album somewhere out in Torrance and were hassled by the cops all the time because it's racist as fuck. So if you're in Torrance, do like D.L. Hughley does. Have a guy drive the car, because I think D.L. Hughley said he never drives himself through Torrance.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, so we have various things to talk about, but mostly we will start with TLC. Tables, Ladders, Chairs, 2017. Well, when we recorded the last episode, it was right before they changed the card due to viral meningitis at the roster, which changed two of the matches as our boy AJ Styles stepped in to replace Sister Abigail, which was great because I wanted to fucking see Sister Abigail versus Pumpkin Spice Demon Finn Balor.
Oh my god.
And Kurt Angle stepped in for Roman Reigns, which gave people who hated Roman Reigns even more stuff to talk about because they were happy and don't like Roman Reigns because they're salty.
I don't like Roman Reigns. I heard instead of meningitis, it was the mumps. It was originally reported as like meningitis, then they were like, oh yeah, it's the mumps.
Yeah.
Still bad though. Still bad.
Yeah. But yeah, some people were very happy. I like Roman Reigns fine. I don't like him on social media, but that's a different story. Anyway, let's do this. Alright, I don't care about the announcers. I hit the wrong thing. Oh, here, where are the fucking results at? I'm looking at the phone, so obviously it's got all this shit. Alright, here we go. Alright, before I start this, I guess this kind of ties into the Nia Jax news, which I know we were going to talk about a little later, but the pre-show match with Sasha Banks defeated Alicia Fox, but there was a word going around that they were thinking about doing Sasha Banks versus Nia Jax here, with Sasha Banks going over Nia Jax. Which, I don't know why Nia Jax hasn't been the champ the last few months, and the booking is garbage, and I mean, I'm not saying Nia Jax should lose to Sasha Banks. Shouldn't lose to Sasha. Sasha Banks already has, like, what, a couple wins over Nia Jax in a singles match? I mean, what the booking around Nia Jax is complete garbage, and if she did walk out because of this, I don't blame her. Do you have any feelings about the whole Nia Jax thing?
Yeah, my thing is that, everything's just been booked fucking horribly on Raw, specifically. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Alexa Bliss and her feud with Mickie James is pretty good, but the fact that Nia Jax hasn't gotten a legitimate shot, it feels like they're just using her to be fodder for the other girls they think that they can market better, you know?
And the worst thing is they clearly don't see Sasha Banks as a woman to hold the franchise, or Bayley, so why would she lose? Why would they beat Nia Jax, who you pretty much established as you need three people to beat her at a single time?
Right. It's bullshit. It's all bullshit. Yeah. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. And I heard, according to Sports Illustrated, that it was The Rock who informed her, if she doesn't like what the fuck is going on, then walk out. Oh, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's good advice, to be honest.
I mean, she's a legitimate threat. She, pretty good promo. I mean, you got representation also. I mean,
right.
I mean, she may not be one of the better actual wrestlers, but she doesn't need to be.
Exactly.
That's not how she wrestles. She just could go in there and hit people, and it looks real. Mm-hmm. And she clearly can sell for the women, so she's, you know, any match she's in, it's already a challenge.
Right.
So the booking on her has been garbage. Yeah, which I think we've been saying this for like months now anyway, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
The match itself, did you watch the match?
Yeah, it was decent from what I saw.
Yeah, I don't know why Alicia Fox lost, but I guess she won on Raw, which you'll talk about later.
Yeah.
All right, so that match was 10 minutes. All right, now here's a match that I've seen some controversy around because some people thought it should have been a squash match. I actually thought this was one of the better singles matches on a women's singles matches on a Raw pay-per-view. And I think the last Raw-only pay-per-view, the one before that, was pretty good anyway. But, Asuka defeated Emma by submission in just under 9.5 minutes. Crowd was really into Asuka. I thought she looked good. Emma put up quite a fight. Like I said, some people thought this should have been a squash and think this is terrible booking.
That's fucking stupid. I don't know. Like, almost every other match she's had in NXT is not a squash. Maybe she had, like, one or two squashes.
That's what Lance Storm was telling Cyrus, or Don Callis. Because Don Callis felt it should have just been a squash. And he said that because no one watches NXT.
No one watches NXT. It doesn't really matter NXT. That these two are. She doesn't win via... The only time she squashed anyone when it was a fucking unknown.
Yeah. So even when she... So you can't really bring up the fact that she was squashing anyone in NXT or what she was doing. I mean, I get Don Callis's point that no one watches NXT, so it doesn't matter if she would have squashed, that she should have squashed him because no one knows they've wrestled each other. But I agreed more with Lance Storm that she didn't need to squash her because she's never really had squash matches.
Yeah, one, she doesn't need to squash her because there's that reason. And two, why the fuck squash Emma? Your women's division already looks anemic. So why the fuck would you diminish another woman in that division that you're trying to build up?
Especially if Nia Jax is leaving. You're losing all.
Why?
You're losing your power players. Pretty much ruined Bayley. Sasha Banks can't hold a title.
Right.
I mean, Alexa Bliss is only reason Alexa Bliss is really good is gimmick. I think she's an okay wrestler, but without her gimmick and her charisma, and let's be honest, she should be getting destroyed by half the women she's in the ring with.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
Based on size alone.
Right.
I mean, and I'm not shitting on Alexa Bliss like that. I'm just saying that realistically, you know, if your top woman looks like she could get beaten easily and has kind of cheated her way through this, and you've pretty much hurt all your power players, that's not good for a roster. Ugh, Raw, what the hell? Who's booking the women's division on Raw?
Definitely not Jimmy Jacobs, because he's gone.
Yeah.
I heard he's wrestling again, too. Like, he's been wrestling a few places.
Well, I know he showed up at Wrestle Circus, and I guess he's going to be showing up at CW. CZW's got some negativity behind it right now because of a wrestler named Schlack. Have you heard of that guy?
Yeah. I remember I did that thing about him, like, months ago where, like, it was revealed that, like, he's been, like, into some, like, alt-right, like, Neo-Nazi shit, yeah.
See, I forgot about that. They were bringing up some of the stuff, and some guy actually tried to talk in through Glory Pro about him wrestling Schlack, and Elgin was like, I didn't know who Schlack was. We don't travel in the same circles. I wouldn't book him for Glory Pro, and well, thank you for letting me know, because I didn't. I think some people assume that that all the wrestlers like rule every guy they're about to wrestle.
Yeah.
And I don't think they should have to do that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I understand why someone would be pissed off, but so, I wouldn't get mad at a wrestler who, you know, they can't be knowing. There's like hundreds of fucking thousands of fucking wrestlers on the indie scene.
Yeah, so what's exactly going on with Schlack again in CZW?
Well, because he's apparently CZW's been really, like, no, he's denounced it. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I guess that they've also been blocking some people who criticized it, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, people...
They don't want people talking about Schlack's neo-Nazi past.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, he's been criticizing CZW, but at the same time, other people have been criticizing CZW for the quality, because, like, they say the quality is basically diminished.
Well, Sammy Callahan's been booking the company, so
yeah,
we gotta blame anybody. I know their Dojo TV show gets pretty good reviews. That's like a completely different beast.
Yeah, but people are basically saying that if you go to a CZW show these days, you're looking at maybe one or two matches.
Yeah,
that's it, and the rest is just throwaway stuff.
It makes me feel kind of bad for that, well, I mean, obviously they got good talent, but they also are the main promotion of one of the hotter new guys, the MJF guy.
Yeah.
But he's getting moving around, too, so good on him.
Yeah,
but yeah,
he does work for Maryland Championship Wrestling, too. He used to be their Rage TV champ before Greg Excellent beat him. shit. Actually, damn, I need to go to... I missed the show on the 30th of September. Shit, I need to go to one of the other shows later this year. So, but yeah, we gotta go back to TLC. We've been veering way off.
Yeah, but we're sticking to wrestling. All right,
yeah.
Now here was a very fun match. The last Black Hopes of Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann defeated Gentleman Jack Gallagher and the Brian Kendrick.
I was hoping
in 8 minutes.
I was hoping Cedric would get a win on his first pay-per-view. So,
and he did.
Yeah.
Black folks won in the home of Prince.
Yeah, that's right.
Should have played, like, a Prince song when they won. I don't know. you're in Minneapolis, you should be playing Prince. Alright, yeah, it was a very fucking good, very fun. Crowd likes Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann, you know, the crowd that knows them. So when they hit it, they're good. I like heel Jack Gallagher, obviously Brian Kendrick is good at what he does. So this was a very fun match. Just makes me wish they would do more cruiserweight tag matches on pay-per-views and let those guys go out.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is Alexa Bliss defeated Mickie James in just under 11 minutes and 30 seconds. Successfully defended the title. This was pretty good. I think Alexa, like I said, Alexa Bliss is a pretty good wrestler, even though because of her her size, sometimes I think that other wrestlers should just be able to walk over her easily.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it was a legitimate fight Mickie James would win, but wrestling in WWE is more about trying to showcase technique than it is in looking like an actual fight. So in that regards, and I mean, Mickie James is just so smooth in the ring too. But I would say this was one of Alexa Bliss's better title defenses ever.
Yeah, I think so. I actually really enjoyed this match.
Yeah. And in a thing that we knew was going to happen, and it pains us all the same, Enzo Amore defeated Kalisto to win back the WWE Cruiserweight Champion in 8 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yep.
Whatever. And then we got the match that suddenly everybody wanted, as the original leader of the Bullet Club, the Demon Finn Balor, defeated the second leader of the Bullet Club, AJ Styles, in a match that people are yelling at Dave Meltzer for not getting 5 stars to, even though if you gave 5 stars to this match, really? This was a very good match.
Yeah, it was very good.
I wouldn't put it in the top 10 matches of the year.
Yeah, I would as one of my favorites, but I would say top 20 that I've seen this year, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd do top 20. Definitely top 20 WWE matches, for fucking sure. But, yeah, I don't know. People are just fucking always mad at Meltzer's rating system, and I was like, Look, you guys have lowered the bar for yourselves, let's be honest. I mean, at least I think so. If you thought this was a 5-star match, go ahead with yourself. Good on you. But, yeah. But, this had a great opening and a really hot ending. I thought the middle was a little slowed down, but that was fine. I don't know who I thought would win going into this. And that's one of those rare feelings I get.
Right.
Yeah.
But which actually, was really nice. after a while, I was thinking like, yeah, it's a Raw pay-per-view, so I would assume that, like, Finn would need to win this, you know?
Yeah, but I that's kind of what I thought too, but there were points in the match like, nah, I think AJ's slightly the bigger wrestler.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a the double stomp he did was fucking pretty as shit.
Oh, that was nasty. He planted that one.
Yeah, that was excellent. But yeah, really good match. Best match of the show. I think we can agree on that.
Yeah, most definitely.
All right, and after interrupting Elias twice, we got a Jason Jordan match against Elias where he won. These buffer matches are just getting harder to deal with. I don't know. I understand why WWE kind of wants these because, you know, just in case people want to go get a bathroom break before the big match comes or needs to get something. But I think it actually hurts the crowd. When you have... Because now the crowd is sort of slow, kind of to slow down.
Yeah. It loses, why, like, the momentum, basically.
Yeah. They think that a crowd can't... Look, the only time you really... I think buffer matches really only work middle of the show stuff. Like, it works when they have, like, wrestling has intermission. Because you can build, you have the intermission, and then you have the buffer match coming back from intermission. Usually, you know, start hot, then put in kind of your secondary matches, have a hot match at intermission, come back, kind of do a buffer match right there to still ease them into it, and then build to the big stuff. I mean, that's kind of how indie wrestling does it. That's how New Japan does Japanese. But WWE's thing is you're never quite sure. Are they going to start hot? Are they going to start slow? When are they going to, you know, sometimes they'll have two buffer matches to kind of break up things. It pisses me off. And I feel bad for these guys because
I think that if the match had been earlier, maybe it would have had a better response to it. Because it looked like it was okay. Yeah. All right. I spent too much time talking about it. All right. In a main event that probably should have been at least 15 minutes shorter, and proving again, Raw booking makes absolutely no goddamn sense and is overbooked. Kurt Angle, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins defeated The Miz, The Bar of Cesaro, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, and Kane. And, yeah. There were some pretty decent spots, but
overall, through, it, just ran, like, it just ran way too long.
Yes. I mean, and we all knew Kurt Angle was coming back. Why the fuck did they even pull that shit? Oh, they wanted him to have his own music. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't, which sometimes I don't understand it. When they come back, when they're headed back to the ring, do they stop to talk to the sound guy real quick? It's like, I'm not that injured. I'm going back out there. Hit my music, can you? Yeah. I mean, and I think Kane's going to not get elected now because he killed Braun Strowman on television, so there's that.
Yeah, he committed homicide, man.
Yeah. Unless they like homicide in Knoxville and decide that that's the thing to do. Yeah. So, yeah, that was pay-per-view. It was interesting. I don't think the, I guess the main event landed if you're a WWE fan. I like WWE, but that wasn't a good main event to me.
Yo, I Buck barely, because, like, the thing is that all through the night, I was, like, really, really sleepy. Like, I was zoning out through that whole fucking match. Like, I barely made it through the end of TLC. Barely.
Yeah, I mean, and it had, like, the times on these stuff. None of the I mean, only one other, or maybe, yeah, only two matches were over 12 minutes. And one of those was this match, which was 35 minutes long. They kept most of the show at a pretty decent matches. I mean, it did not need to be 35 fucking minutes. WWE, I guess because WWE is like, well, we got to fill the whole 3 hours. Well, if that's the case, they could have shaved, let's say, 10. Okay, let's be honest. They could have shaved 15 minutes, but they probably would have only shaved 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And given that to, like, another random, another fucking match. They could have found another, people to put on there. Put another fucking TO5 live night. They could have given that 10 minutes to fucking Drew Gulak's presentation he didn't get to do again.
Oh, yeah, that was some bullshit. And then, and, like, during the pre-show, he was just trying to, like, give his little spiel, and then they cut him off, too.
Yeah. They could have gave him taken 10 minutes off, have him come out, do that, then have, like, Mustafa Ali, who he's been wrestling, or Grand Metalik, who I heard he wrestled on 205 Live, come out, interrupt him, and have a quick 7-minute and 30-second match. One, it would have worked for Drew Gulak to be on television, because he's, from the sounds of it, he's become a lot of people's favorite talkers. He's obviously a heel, so him doing it, you would have had a heel, and whoever came out to interrupt him and beat him would have gotten some face time. So, yeah. So, some very fucking bad decisions on this show, even though there were several really good matches. So, I guess I'm at a 7. A solid 7? Yeah, barely a 7. Okay.
Yeah, I'd give it a 7 or so.
Yeah, AJ and Finn. And for the most part, the women's matches and the 205 Live matches, they were good. Just the Enzo match, kind of predictable. The Buffer match placing and the length of the main event kind of hurt things. But, yeah, 7. So that's that. And next up we have, is it Survivor Series or is it Dynamite? Or is it both?
It's Survivor Series.
All right. So that one's in 2 weeks, I guess.
Hold on. Survivor Series is in 4 weeks.
Alright.
What the fuck is going on in 2 weeks? Is there going on in 2 weeks?
I'm trying to figure it out. Where is the listing for the pay-per-view? Okay. Chronology. No, it says the next thing coming up is NXT War Games. which is November 18th. So I guess Survivor Series isn't there. Oh shit! They're using a fucking Kid Rock song for Survivor Series.
No, they're not. No, they're not. What the fuck?
Greatest Show on Earth by Kid Rock. Show's already got a -1 point. It can't be higher than now. Sorry.
Jesus.
And then after Survivor Series, they do a fucking Clash of the Champions. Oh, okay. That makes sense. But yeah, so, yeah, 4 weeks. Survivor Series is November 18th in Houston, Texas. What does Kid Rock have to do with Texas, either?
Yeah, get that bullshit out of here.
All right, and and they've already pretty much booked the whole fucking show. I guess they have to build the teams, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they're building. That's what they're doing right now.
All right. So, yes, a few weeks of but if you need some major wrestling before that, we have on a Sunday or whatever, we have Power School from New Japan still to happen. So, there will be a big wrestling show Sunday, November 5th if you need wrestling. And that show, I think I mentioned the last one, is already sold out. So, yeah. Osaka. All right. So, I guess we're on SmackDown time?
Raw time.
Raw time.
Raw time. Because shit happened. Yeah, so Raw happened. And Raw shit. I think there was a tag team match and more shit. But yeah, there was AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose versus Cesaro, Sheamus, and Miz because they lent AJ Styles off for another night. The AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose team ended up winning that one. Kane came out and basically gave the reasoning for destroying Braun Strowman and tossing him in the garbage truck, basically saying that he didn't believe. Basically, he said that Braun was too weak, and there's only one real monster in the WWE, and that's him. And then he issued a challenge because he wanted competition like Braun. Out comes Finn Balor. Finn Balor had a pretty good showing, but ended up getting destroyed by Kane in the end. Kane hit him with like fucking 3 choke slams before pinning him. After that, Asuka faced Emma in a rematch. Of course, Asuka.
Because WWE likes to do the same match after they gave it to you on a pay-per-view.
Like, and sometimes they'll. I remember back when SmackDown the rosters weren't split, where they'd have a match on SmackDown and then have the same match on Raw the next week. They did that all the time.
I understand to a point that they want, like, not so much the feud to continue, but the, I guess for the wrestlers, that the idea that they the more they wrestle, the better the match will be, or some nonsense like that.
Right.
But then just do it like New Japan does and just have everybody fucking do freaking tag matches all the time.
Right?
yeah. I mean, it makes no damn sense. I don't get it at all. What do I know? I don't book wrestling.
But yeah, after that, Alexa Bliss came out and obviously chastised Mickie James once again. And she went on for a little while until Mickey actually came out. Yeah, and then as soon as Mickey came out, she didn't say a word. She took Alexa Bliss out, hit her with a DDT on the title, and then stood over her and said, "You deserve it," and walked out. So that was pretty dope. After that, there was Jason Jordan versus Elias again. And of course, this time Elias lost. Jason Jordan actually won by DQ as Jason Jordan was about to charge him outside of the ring. Elias elbowed him and hit him in the shoulder. After that, Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman came out and talked their shit. Basically saying that, yeah, we've had everything nice to say about our opponent, like the previous opponents, Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, Randy Orton, John, blah blah blah, but we have nothing nice to say about you. You fucking suck, and you've barely been skating by. We have no respect for it. Basically, they have no respect for Jinder Mahal. They'll beat the shit out of him and accept his challenge, but they're making it known that they don't respect him whatsoever. So, thought that was...
Yeah, funny. I mean, Brock versus Jinder sounds terrible, but...
Yeah.
Almost every one of the Jinder... Yeah, I don't know.
Basically,
I don't understand.
Basically, they're saying, one of the things they're saying was that Jinder Mahal basically disgraces the WWE title because there's been so many greats who've had it, and then there's him. yeah, after that, Sasha Banks faced Bayley and also faced Alicia Fox. That was to determine who would be the captain of Team Raw Women. And lo and behold, Alicia Fox won it. So
I did like the gif of her mocking Bayley from Bayley. Behind by doing her moment.
Yeah, she hit the Bayley. Yeah, she hit the Bayley in the belly on her. That was funny. But yeah, Alicia Fox is the fucking team captain of Team Raw. How?
One of the better decisions they made because it's so kind of left field.
Yeah, that's true. After that, Enzo Amore and his crew, I forgot what they were called, the Zotra.
Well, on Total Divas' Twitter account, you know, the one that is the GIFs, they called them the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah. The Zotrain or something like that. So, they make their entrance, and you know that chicken dance that fucking Enzo does? All of them are fucking doing it. This shit was ridiculous, but yeah, he lost his voice. I think during TLC, he was talking like he was like really, really raspy, and I guess he had lost his voice almost completely by Monday. So he had Drew Gulak basically read off like some written statement from his clipboard or whatever, which was really entertaining. Drew Gulak, I love that guy.
Drew Gulak, and I remember when they Drew Gulak went in for like the tryouts and stuff.
Yeah,
and people and like literally like the dirt sheet news was like they were impressed by Drew Gulak's promos, and there were all these shit tons of people like, "What do you mean Drew Gulak can't do promos or something?" I mean, and the guy's been doing these kind of characters since CZW. He's kind of got it down pat.
Right.
I guess, I don't know, as people look at him and they don't think his promos work, but they work perfectly well in a particular place. Because he's an asshole. He's a smug asshole.
Yeah. He's the epitome of a legend.
Yes. I mean, if anything, if they were to bring back Right to Censor, he would be the perfect guy for the job.
Right.
He could lead a new Right to Censor straight to the top of the WWE, I think.
Yep. So, what ended up happening was that his team of him, Gulak, Tony Nese, Noam Dar, and Arya Divari faced the Kalisto squad, his Lucha squad of Kalisto, Gran Metalik, who definitely showed out during the match, Mustafa Ali, Rich Swann, and Seth Zander. And of course, Kalisto's squad ended up winning. It was really interesting. Everybody was doing flips and jumping off everything, as you'd expect. And then after that is when the chaos happened. Kurt Angle came out and he was going to introduce his team, his Survivor Series team for the men's squad. And Shane McMahon came out and he did Under Siege. Next thing you know, a whole bunch of SmackDown superstars descend from the crowd. they circle the ring, and then he's like, go get him. They go to the back as Kurt Angle's trying to flee, and they just systematically beat anybody they fucking see. They beat up Apollo and Titus. They beat up some PA that was just trying to do his job. Who else? They were about to beat up some girls that were getting their hair and makeup done, and all of them ran, including Dana Brooke. And apparently there's, like, a whole meme of her, like, running. Because people were, I guess people, like, freeze-framed it and, like, cut her out of the picture. And have just been posting, like, pictures of her running from different things and shit. It's fucking hilarious. But, yeah, everybody got beaten down in the locker room area, backstage. Even when the women were about to try to defend everything, SmackDown sicked their women on them. It was a beautiful mess. And then they dragged Angle back to the ring and issued a threat and peaced out. But that was a pretty entertaining end to Raw.
I apologize. Somebody's fucking car alarm's been going off for like 4 minutes, and they're not doing anything, or the car alarm's broken.
Oh, I didn't hear it until you said something.
Oh, man. Yeah. I was trying to find a place in the other than that, but it appears my room is literally the place where it's the least loud.
Yep. That's what happens. But,
I want to run out and yell at somebody, but I don't know who to, where to go. And obviously we're doing this. Pisses me off.
Yeah. I'll cut off eventually. Somebody's going to figure it out. But, ending overall was pretty dope. But, after that, SmackDown happened. Here in Milwaukee and shit. Shane came out and talked about Survivor Series. Sammy came out and cut this heel promo against Shane, which was really funny and pretty good and whatnot. And eventually Shane would announce that Sammy and Kevin would have to qualify. Actually, everybody would have to qualify to join Team SmackDown. So Sammy that night would face Randy Orton. Kevin Owens would have to face Shinsuke the week after. But after all that went down, everything was all Gucci. But New Day's Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable, with Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable ending up picking up the victory on that one. Daniel Bryan, what's that? The women's team would have to find the captain, so all of them would have to fight in a five-way, excluding Lana. Like, he definitely singled out Lana. He's like, nah, you're not in this at all. So she was like, he straight up said that she's not part of Team SmackDown, period. Like, off the bat. It was really fucked out. Fucked up, man. It was really bad. After that, Breezango and Ascension had their whole Fashion Files. But this time it was Reservoir Dogs based. Pretty funny. They had James Ellsworth tied up. And next week will be Stranger-er Things. So, cool. Sin Cara faced Baron Corbin. Sin Cara actually won again by DQ. But then Baron Corbin beat the shit out of him after the match.
Did they suddenly just remember they had Sin Cara on the roster and decided to actually use him?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, I had heard he was working a lot of house shows. I mean, he even had his son at one of his house shows dressed as him.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. and then after that, they cut to some video. Because, like, after the Under Siege attack that happened on Raw, a whole bunch of, like, SmackDown superstars decided to shoot videos from, like, their cars or outside their tour buses or whatever, commenting on what they did to Raw and blah, 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 which is pretty cool, because actually, for once, I actually liked something that Dolph Ziggler said during that, which was pretty dope. It was him and Zack Ryder driving, I guess, to the next town or whatever, but that was pretty cool to see. After that, AJ Styles faced Sunil Singh, and of course AJ beat the shit out of him and then hit him with a calf crusher. After that, the Fatal 5-Way that I talked about happened, and the team captain for SmackDown's women's team is Becky Lynch. So it's Becky Lynch's team versus Alicia Fox's team, which is interesting.
Alicia Fox should just fill her entire team up with just angry heels and Asuka.
Yeah.
I want Alicia Fox team to be her. I want Nia Jax, if she's still around. Asuka, Emma.
Yeah.
Some other woman. I don't want Sasha Banks or Bayley on there.
What else? There was something between Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode, and eventually it was announced that him and Ziggler would have a 2 out of 3 falls match next week. And the winner of that match will also be part of Team SmackDown. So, and then after that, Sami Zayn faced Randy Orton in a pretty good match. What ended up happening was Kevin Owens tried to interfere in it, but it backfired. Eventually, Randy Orton hit a low blow on Sami and hit him with RKO. So, Sami is not going to be on Team SmackDown.
I bet you $5 he ends up on Team SmackDown somehow.
You think so?
Yes. That sounds like the a perfect reason to do
it. There's only been 3 choirs announced, I think.
Yeah, I bet you somehow, some way, he's going to end up on Team SmackDown. Someone's going to get he's either going to luck into it. Well, not luck into it. Someone's going to get injured, and they're going to put him on the team. Like they did that 1 year where Natalya replaced one of the Bellas. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then he's going to haluva kick Randy Orton randomly in the match, pretend it was an accident. But you know he did it on purpose.
Yeah. So that was SmackDown. Yeah.
And someone finally cut their alarm. It's on. So get up and move. All right. I didn't watch 205 Live, but I guess Enzo kept the title because of a DQ situation, because obviously, Grand Metalik wrestled Drew Gulak. I don't know what happened, and I think they, Schwan and Cedric Alexander defeated Noam Dar and Tony Nese. I saw GIFs, so I'm just basing that's what happened, unless the GIFs are lying to me. So that's 205 Live. The most exciting hour of wrestling. Isn't that what they call it?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't watch it.
All right. Okay, so other than that, let's see. I caught part of the Road to Power Struggle show. I'm mostly to watch the 2 junior tag matches that start this mini tournament. We had Roppongi 3K defeated Kushida and Hirai Kawato. This was a really good match. I've read a couple criticisms about the new Roppongi 3K, and it's like, Jesus, let's give them a couple months, guys. They just got the gimmick. I mean, it took Evil, like, a while to fully embrace being Evil, right? I mean, he had the moves, but he really got the gimmick down a little bit later. So let's give Roppongi 3K a little bit of time. And this was a really good match anyway, so... Oh, and I think it's show is he looks like he's going to be like the powerhouse of the junior division.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was so Roppongi 3K won, which was pretty obvious because she didn't online. And then the main event was Dragon Lee and Titan versus, I think they're going by Los Dos Peligrosos, which means too dangerous. I mean, Peligroso is a version of the word danger. And Dose is 2, so Dangerous 2, maybe. But they do. But the team of Hiromu and Bushi beat Titan and Dragon Lee. And obviously this match was hot because it had Dragon Lee and Harumo's two go hard. Like, they're like, I don't know if I've ever seen them in a match where they started with a lockup. It always seems like they rush over and just start hitting overhand chops until one gets pissed and then kicks the other one. So, hot match, some really good dives. And they're in the thing now where every time Harumo tries to cut a promo, something interrupts him. I don't know if you noticed when Ospreay had challenged Kushida for the junior title on Harumo Count before he got to really talk, Ospreay punched him.
Yeah.
Or when he came out to challenge Ospreay and then fucking Skrull popped in and did the finger break. Well, this time he was about to respond to Rocky Romero and Roppongi 3K, but Bushi snatched the mic from him.
Yep.
So this is some weird part of his gimmick. He's not allowed to talk. And it's amazing to me that Rocky Romero, for a guy, I mean, I know he speaks some Japanese, but he's not fluent. Fucker cuts better promos for the Japanese crowd than most of the Japanese wrestlers, right? Comes out, does his introduction in Japanese, says some shit in English, then starts cutting, like, jokes or insults in Japanese. The crowd fucking love Rocky Romero. And you don't really have too many manager characters in New Japan. I guess, I don't know if Ghetto is more a manager or more of the hype man for Okada. I guess he's more of the hype man for Okada.
Yeah.
Rocky really comes off as a manager type. And he's doing a really good job with it. In other related Harumo Takahashi news, he shot a lip balm thing for a New Japan official lip balm that the ladies are in fucking love with, and some of the men too. Yeah, you got to give it to New Japan. They're like, well, we know 40% of our crowd are women, so we got to give them something. So, yeah. But both matches were really good. I did watch the 3-on-3 match with Evil Sonata and Naito against Ishii, Yoshihashi, and Okada. And it looked like Yoshihashi actually might have concussed Sonata during the match. Because Yoshihashi added, I think it's called Sato. It's essentially like a running low version of the Meteora, you know, the double knee attack.
Yeah.
With the guy kind of either seated or kneeling. And Sonata was kind of out trying to figure out what to do for like a couple minutes. I mean, he kind of remember his spots. I mean, he got back into it and won the match, but I was like, damn, that should be Yoshihashi's new finisher. He's fucking knocking guys out with that shit. But yeah, that was a pretty decent match. I didn't watch any of the other stuff. The only Bullet Club guys currently on the tour are Yujiro Takahashi and Leo Tonga too, which is fascinating. And they've been tagging on the undercard matches. So So Yujiro is getting some cash, and Leo Tonga is making some experience points. So that was all I wanted for that. And should I do the cards coming up for New Japan since I'm on it? Hello?
Yeah, what's up?
I said, should I do... Oh, never mind. I'll just do the New Japan cards right now. So this Sunday, we'll do the... let me pull up. Is the next set of junior tag, which include two Suzuki Gun matches, essentially. You have Tiger Mask and Jushin Thunder Liger versus El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and then in the main event you have what's ACH's thing? Super something? Super ACH?
Super ACH, yeah.
So I think it's like Super Weapon is what him and Ryosuke Taguchi are calling themselves, or Super Funky, I don't know. But yeah, ACH and Taguchi will take on Takamichi Noku Tai event. I'm assuming ACH and Taguchi will win this one. And that El Desperado and Kanemaru will win their match. I don't see them doing both Suzuki Gun teams fighting each other, because that means they would have coming up next. Other matches on that show include Leo Tonga and Yujiro Takahashi versus David Finlay and Juice Robinson, Goto and Yano versus Izuki and Minoru Suzuki. Okay, then the other members of the Bullet Club finally show up as Skrull, Chase Owens, and Kenny Omega take on Ospreay, Beretta, and Yoshihashi. Then we got Hirai Kawato, Kushida, and Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Tatan, Dragon Lee, and Kota Ibushi. That match sounds pretty fucking hot, so probably going to check that one out. And then the 5-on-5 with Roppongi 3K, Rocky Romero, Tomohiro Ishii, and Kazuchika Okada versus Hiromu Takahashi, Bushi, Sonata, Evil, Naito, AKLIJ. And then the show after that, which is on Monday, we'll do the semi-main event matches, which so far are only Roppongi 3K versus Bushi, Hiromu, and Hashi, a.k.a. Los Dos Peligrosos. And then the other match, which we will find out the night before. There are other matches are set for those. But both those shows will be live on NewJapanWorld.com. And Power Struggle will be on November 5th. So, yep, those. So now we got news. And I'll start real quick. Big Japan Pro Wrestling may start their own streaming service.
Really?
Yes. Sadly, as someone pointed out, it will not be called BJW World. Yes.
So BJW World.
No, I'm saying it's called BJW World.
It's not
going to
be called that.
Okay. Someone was joking about it. They were disappointed.
Oh.
It's going to be called BJW Core. The site's already up, but they haven't made an official announcement, so I don't know what's going on, but it sounds like it should be a little more than a dollar less than New Japan World. So, if you like seeing Sakamoto lariat people to death and ridiculous matches, BJW is the place to go, since basically their wrestling is split up into the strong division, which are the Haas guys beating the shit out of people, or the deathmatch division, where people try to kill people, and then occasionally a comedy match to open the show. Yeah. Alright, we already talked about Nia Jax, and the only other really piece of news I have is that GLOW started production on Season 2. So, yay, I really did like GLOW Season 1. Fucking loved that shit. I'm looking forward to Season 2. There was also something about Linda McMahon and, you know, her work for Trump, but I didn't really follow what they were trying to explain to me, and I couldn't care because everything's horrible. Everything. And that's all I have for news. What you got, man?
Oh, brother, that's it? That's all you got?
That's all I have.
Yeah. Okay, alright. Let me get my shit together. But not... I got a little bit of shit to talk about. What happened? Yeah. You heard about the NXT War Games, right?
Yeah. They've been advertising it too.
Yeah, they got the War Games going on, but of course they announced that Drew McIntyre would face Adam Cole. For the title. What?
I said Bebe. Bebe,
yeah, Bebe.
Yeah, you gotta say Bebe after you say I'm cool, right?
Bebe, yeah. So, but the special guest referee for that match was actually a little bit surprised. I'm actually a little surprised about this. I don't know. It came out of left, but apparently the special guest referee is Shawn Michaels. Yeah. Shawn freaking Michaels.
I thought I heard a rumor about him maybe, like, helping out down there in NXT for some reason.
I don't know. He's been... That's the thing. Like, behind the scenes, we've known that he's been working with NXT. He's been doing that for at least... People known that for some months now. But it's still, like, the special guest referee thing is just a little bit of a surprise still. You know?
Does that match really need a special guest referee, though?
I don't know, but I guess it made it special. Well, it's in fucking San Antonio.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so they need to get Shawn Michaels somewhere.
Yeah, man. They have to get show him out eventually or something. So.
Then I demand The Undertaker be the special guest referee for Brock Lesnar, Jinder Mahal.
Oh, God. Oh, God. No, that wouldn't work out at all. Yeah, that wouldn't work.
Yeah, I don't think he's not fast enough to count.
Yeah. but yeah, speaking of other people, Samoa Joe, he's still out. I don't know what the timetable is for him, But in the meantime, it says that apparently he's helping to write WWE number 13 for Boom Studios. So, and apparently that, like, issue of WWE's comic will be about the events leading up to his debut. So, good on him for getting in that comic game. Get that writer's credit and shit. It's dope. What else? Big E. One thing that's funny on social media, Big E posted a pic. Apparently, it was DMX holding a box of Bootios. And he had, like, the weirdest look on his face. Like, he's like, what the fuck is this? But, yeah, knowing DMX and the lyrics to his songs and shit, yeah, he's not feeling Bootios at all. based on what he doesn't know about what the fuck it Bootios really is. Or whatever. You know?
That should just be a passing joke. Let's just give the Bootios box to celebrities who don't know what it's about and see their reaction.
Right. Right. Especially a dude like DMX who's been known for homophobic lyrics in the past. Bootios or something.
At this point, I think DMX is going to be, but what was that song? The one at the end of that Rick and Morty.
X Gonna Give It To You?
Yeah. That song is like, I mean, I know he's had other hits and some really good songs, but Jesus, that song, man.
Yeah.
At this point, between Rick and Morty, Deadpool, that's got to be, like, up there in the most, you know, used rap radio singles of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And I swear, every time that song comes on, I feel like someone's about to fight. I'm all over that shit.
Yo, DMX always had songs where, like, you were ready to fight somebody. Always.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see any type of thing that would indicate... Yeah, DMX. what else happened? Apparently NXT is having a live show at the same time as a Wrestling Revolver show. You heard about this?
No. I mean, I'm used to WWE hosting shows on other things, but not Revolver, right? I think that's Sammy Callahan's company, too.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It is. So...
So, like, Sammy Callahan just, like, books CZW and he runs his own wrestling promotion and basically is trying to be every promotion at the same time?
Yeah, basically.
Calm down, Sammy Callahan. Yeah. Calm down.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think he can't be going to New Japan with all this shit he's working on.
Yeah. But, folks are pissed. Jack Swagger, or Jake Hager, whatever he's fucking calling himself these days. He's pissed. He for Wrestling Revolver, that Wrestling Revolver show, and basically calling on folks to really come and support. So that Wrestling Revolver show is happening on the 28th.
All right. Oh well, I got the thing out. So let me look up the whatever the fuck matches are gonna happen.
Yeah.
So that way I can do the card of the week. I don't like the website. At least not on the hell. Okay, alright, so I got their card up. Do you want me to tell you it now, just out of curiosity?
Yep.
Alright, let's start from the bottom. Sammy Callahan is taking on FKA Jack Swagger. I don't know if that's what they're calling him. FKA being formerly known as, so yeah. Okay, oh, the show's called Tales from the Ring. Alright, so that's Callahan versus Swagger. Then we have a tag team ladder match with the world's cutest tag team, the besties in the world, which is Matt Fitch and Davey Vega versus Wentz and Miguel. I don't know who Miguel is. I know Wentz is Zachary Wentz. Everyone ever watched him. Serpentico and Luchasaurus and Zero Gravity. Those guys still around. So ladder match, interesting. And then we got Alex Colon versus Ricky Shane Page. Jake Chris versus Jessica Havoc. The PWG Tag Team Champions wrestling each other as Matt Riddle takes on Jeff Cobb. First time ever, AR Fox versus Daga.
you know, from Lucha Underground and formerly of AAA. Open invite scramble championship match. Champion Palmer versus Tessa Blanchard versus Dave Chris versus Mascout. Is that okay? They forgot to add another versus after it. Then Myron Pitt Reed versus Paco versus Kurt Stallion. Those three guys are all trained by Michael Elgin, by the way. Versus the MJ I mentioned a little earlier. Versus Len X versus Gary J. First time ever, Brian Cage versus Shigehiro Erie. And also, for I don't know, first time ever, Ricochet picks his opponent. First time ever. Okay, Ricochet versus Jason Cade. Quite a lineup of matches. The one that sounds the best, though, is to me is Riddle versus Cobb. Yeah. Okay, so, oh, well, no, I guess A.R. Fox versus Daugus sounds really hot. Yeah. A.R. Fox is probably going to have a, was this year? A.R. Fox is getting all these interesting matches since, as I said last week, he will be taking on Tetsuya Naito next year. He better bring, like, 120% on that shit, try to get that New Japan contract.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I think he's big enough that he could probably work as a heavyweight in New Japan, too.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, he is... I mean, he looks... I know that Ricochet is really muscular, but I think A.R. Fox...
A.R. Fox is bigger than him, definitely. I think so.
Yeah, and I mean, if they're giving, like, Zack Sabre Jr. as a heavyweight, even though he is essentially, well, I think only 180 pounds, part of the reason he's a heavyweight is he's actually taller than a number of their heavyweight guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, it says here A.R. Fox is only 185 pounds, but he is 6 feet tall. So it's possible that because of his height, he could probably move up. But, you know, maybe do like Trent Barretta, who he felt like he should have been a junior heavyweight anyway.
Right.
But, yeah, so I'll do the other. But, yeah, that is the card you were just talking about. I don't know what the NXT card is, but I assume it happened. Well, it's just a live show, right?
Yeah, it's just a live show. It's whatever.
Well, then it really doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably just going to be a bunch of tag matches. It's also, like, the only time you get to see some of those women wrestle.
Yeah. And then what else? Speaking of, we mentioned MJF earlier. Last Thursday's Throwback Thursday that he posted... Interesting, because he showed an old clip, apparently, of him as a little kid on the Rosie O'Donnell show.
You mean, like, the TV show or, like, a talk show thing?
The talk show.
Okay.
Remember when she had her fucking talk show for a while? Like in the
A little bit.
I think that was, like, late 90s, like, early 2000s or some shit like that. Before eventually got canceled, but yeah, that at some point that talk show was kind of big. I don't know how you didn't know about that one, but
because I don't fuck Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, I don't either, but I knew.
I vaguely remember it, but I think I just blotted it out of my memory somehow, some way. Kind of do that sometimes.
Yeah, but apparently he got interviewed by her when he was a little kid and. He said, even as a little kid, that he wanted to be an opera singer and a wrestler, and his faves were Goldberg and The Rock. Well, at least he has the wrestling.
Well, that makes sense. I think he looked, I don't want to say Jewish, but with his name, he sounds Jewish. Yeah. And he sounds like he has a lot of charisma and personality. So, you know, you got probably one of the most famous Jewish wrestlers of all time, and then the most charismatic, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. So,
right.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so, apparently... So, yeah, he's a great wrestler right now. And he actually can sing really well. I think that's probably why he was on the Rosie O'Donnell show. So, because, as an adult, he's sang really well. Because I heard him... There was a little, like, video that was posted on CZW where he was, like, I'm like... date with Penelope Ford or whatever, and he sang during that video, which was actually he has a really nice voice. So if that wrestling shit doesn't work out, he can always still try to be a singer.
He can do both.
He can
do a little bit of singing. Go to the WWF, get pissed off, leave, and become an even bigger star.
Yeah.
dream now, right?
Yeah, that is the dream. That's what Enzo's trying to do. he's trying to leave and rap.
Yeah, that scares me.
Yeah, I don't know how good he is at doing that shit, but he has connections. And these days, you don't have to rap to be a good rapper, if that makes any sense.
No, I mean, I kind of understand that the style of rap is so different now. It's not like traditional, I don't want to say traditional rap, but it was all those years where, especially the way battle raps were back in the day, really influenced the way rap sounded. It's less like that now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I want to say it's pop, but it's very mainstream in the sense that you can have a hit rap album without really having to do the kind of lyrical metaphors that, or allegories that some are known for.
Yeah.
Or the concise cuts like Kool Moe Dee used to do.
Yeah, it's a lot more melodic these days. So it's not even real rapping in a sense. But it's actually I think the word for it is like they don't sing, but they harmonize with it. If like You know how harmonizing. Basically, you're just like you're working with the beat. You're singing with the beat. It's not exactly like a real like structured singing. You just kind of
That's definitely different than especially like the 80s, where a lot of rap was just being rapped over rock or disco beats.
Yeah.
I mean, and even when they were constructing music specifically for rappers, it was, I would say, very little of it was designed to harmonize with the rapper. Yeah, I mean,
because back in the day, it was a lot more sampling. Because that's what rap was based off of, fucking samples, disco samples, rock samples, whatever. But these days,
and they were a lot of it was designed
their own beats.
Yeah, they were, and they were a lot of it was the DJ was the most important man in the act.
Right.
So you and the rapper was the guy who was coming on and being featured by the DJ. That was, you know, that's how it was. Now it's a much different thing, and now you also have you have beaters a lot more than you have DJs.
Right.
So it's a completely different beast. Yeah. God, I'm old.
Yeah.
Sitting here thinking this shit. Everyone listening to like flashback Fridays on Power out here when I was in high school thinking, and I was in high school like, man, I remember Curtis Blow. And then at that moment going, I'm in fucking high school. Shit does not work out. I mean, I think I was little in school when I believe Biggie and Tupac died. Like, rap just moved so fucking fast.
Fuck, I was still in fucking, like, how old was I, Biggie and Tupac died? I was, like, freaking, like, 5 or 6 years old when that shit happened.
I moved to California just as, about the time as Def Jam just really blew up. Just, like, a year or so before The Chronic dropped, I think. I've moved around, but I've been living in California since 91, 92. So I just basically got to California right when Death Row was a thing, and right with Rodney King beating and the riots. That was my early years in California. So, yeah. And my dad had some of the old Def Jam records, the Run DMCs, the Beastie Boys on vinyl and shit. So, yeah. God, rap moves quick as fuck.
Speaking of shit and having Enzo, apparently looks like Kushida was pissed off.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I was pissed off too when I saw him do that shit on the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That was a weak-ass pitcher punch.
It was.
And here's the thing, because I know Kushida isn't the first guy to do it, but that was like a Japanese wrestling punch.
Right.
Because there was a guy, I believe in Dragon Gate, who did that shit first.
Yeah.
Shit, and those shit, and the shit always looked righteous.
Right.
And I loved how, like, would always sell that he hit him so hard his fist hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enzo shit stage.
Enzo just... I mean, but Enzo can't... I mean, Enzo can't even properly do his finisher, which he stole from freaking Chuck Taylor, but everybody stole that movie from Chuck Taylor.
Did that before... Did Gail Kim do that before Chuck Taylor?
No, I think Chuck Taylor invented the move.
Because Gail Kim was doing it... Because hers was Eat Defeat, and she was using it early 2000s, I think. Was she?
I don't know. I know that... I mean, I know she's done it the longest compared to Chuck Taylor.
Yeah.
Well, not long... I don't know if she's done it longer than Chuck Taylor, but when I think of the two wrestlers who do it, I think Chuck. Because
Chuck,
she... Yeah. I'm trying to find it, but it doesn't say... It pretty much just, it doesn't even credit who created the finishing move of Gail Kim, Chuck Taylor. I guess Xavier Woods used it for a while, and Enzo Amore uses it currently. Oh, and Cole Cabana used it briefly as well.
Oh, okay.
But, like, because I think about the time I discovered, when did Chuck Taylor start wrestling, too? So he's actually wrestled a couple years after she did. So, I mean, it's hard to say.
It's a toss-up.
Yeah, I think a lot of the male wrestlers credit Chuck Taylor with coming up with that move. Uh-huh. I mean, Chuck Taylor doesn't, I don't think he's ever really referenced anyone else using that move before.
No, like, I don't think so.
I don't think he's the kind of guy who
would really... I don't think he gives a shit that much.
I think he would only give a shit if it's a wrestler he doesn't like.
Speaking of people who give a shit... Of course, when Kushida, like sent out that tweet, of course, one of the first people to fucking respond to that shit was fucking Wasai. Because he loves when it comes to talk about move stealing or whatever. Because for some reason he thinks he invented everything. High flying.
Yeah, that was weird. I didn't think Kushida responded so much because it was stolen, but how bad it was.
How bad it was? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Kushida would really care so much if it looked good. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how he even fucking did a thing in the first place.
Yeah.
Maybe he was insulted that Enzo Amore did that shit.
Yeah, who knows?
Like, maybe if it was a better wrestler. I know Tama Tonga liked that tweet. But Tama Tonga, like he tells you, he talks that shit on Twitter. He comes out pretending he's on Twitter talking shit.
Yeah.
Tama Tonga, probably one of my favorite Bullet Club member now, kind of.
Yeah. What else is there? Sheamus, apparently he's started a new YouTube channel. It's called Celtic Warrior Workouts. So chat and get your body right or whatever.
Sounds like it should be part of a techno song right there, Get Your Body Right. Actually, no. I think there's a Killer Instinct jam from the first soundtrack that says that.
Oh, really? Oh, man.
See, now I need to figure out if that's true or not. Killer Instinct soundtrack. It's horrible now, but when it came out, it was the jam, and I still fucking love that shit. The dated-ass techno and bad sound clips.
What else? I think Bianca Belair and Montez Ford could be getting married or whatever. They were, there was a post that they had a photo shoot, I guess, and then she had the caption, save the date. So it looks like they're getting, so congratulations to them on an engagement or whatever, I guess.
You got the Miz thing in your too?
Oh, the Miz, the gender reveal?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they had the Halloween gender reveal party, you know, whatever. And it was announced that Miz Maurice's kid will be a girl.
And like the instant reaction to Twitter was like, well, we got our future feud, the Miz's kid versus Daniel Bryan's kid.
Oh, God. Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. Yo. That actually works. That's right.
Yeah.
They can be main event.
Okay, so I found the Killer Instinct song. Yeah, they should definitely wrestle. Yeah, well, I don't know what she would call herself. could go. I don't know. Like, you could see them, if she had come out into wrestling, her taking her dad's wrestling last name. What would Miz's daughter be? I mean, let's see, Bertie Danielson or Bertie Bryan would be kind of an interesting wrestling name.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Bertie, I think it's cute, but as maybe, a wrestling see, name, I don't maybe, know if it works.
I feel like they might just go with just Bertie Joe. Just
Bertie. Actually, that would be a better wrestling
just,
name.
Just Bertie Joe, and then that's
Bertie Joe versus Maurice. I just call her the daughter Maurice.
Maurice
versus Bertie Joe. Yes, for the women's title.
Oh man!
And Bertie Joe's gonna have at least a year on her, so she'll have a year.
Yeah.
And but guess, I found the Killer Instinct song I talked about. It's Let Your Body Rock, Let Your Body Move, Let Your Body Jump to the Killer Groove.
Oh, wow.
And the song is called The Way Move. So that's what I was thinking of.
Nice. And guess who was at Mrs. Gender Reveal Party? Some random Ooh. Random that I had no idea that they were cool with. Fucking Avril Lavigne.
Really?
Yeah, Avril Lavigne was there. And not only that, because it was a Halloween party too, she dressed up, and she fucking dressed up as Maurice.
I saw the Miz thing, them dressed up like that. I didn't realize it's because she actually knew him. I thought that was pretty cool, but now I think it's actually cool. It's actually the only cool thing Avril Lavigne may have ever done.
Oh, that's terrible. But
what else has she done? Have you ever seen the awkward picture with her fans where she doesn't even like to stand more than a foot away from them? Like, she's like, here's me smiling a foot away from the fan, take $20 to take a fucking picture. Hey, like, come on, Avril.
She is a legend in Canada, so
Lisa, yeah, but Lisa's that doesn't back. Mean shit, it's Canada. Have you ever watched... I don't know, because I used to get Much Music, the real Much Music from Canada. Most of the Canadian people are garbage. I mean, musically.
Hey,
I mean,
at least they got Celine Dion.
True. But, like, do you remember Snow, the white guy who did the reggae music? He had
Informa.
It. That motherfucker is still huge in fucking Canada. I remember watching Much Music in high school, and there was, like, a rap video by rappers from Canada. And Snow came on and did the fucking chorus. And I learned that fucking Snow was like their version of Nate Dogg. Like, they're like the black rappers in Canada used to get Snow to do their choruses.
Now that I think about it, he probably must be from Toronto or some shit. Because, like, all those folks from Toronto think it's, like, Jamaica number two or something like that. I don't know. I guess they have, like, a heavy Jamaican community in Toronto. And they all have this weird accent thing where it's like half Canadian accent, half Jamaican shit. It's really annoying. I fucking hate Toronto.
Oh, you might be right. I just remember watching a rap video like, rapper from Canada, Snow came on.
No, I hate it just for the minorities. Is that racist? Is that racist?
I don't know.
I'm black and I don't fuck with black.
I don't fuck with Toronto niggas.
But I don't fuck with black folks from Toronto, because I think they seem like douchebags.
It's anyway. Canada, you know, you never know.
Anyway.
That said, Much Music was an awesome fucking station, because when I had the full Canadian version before they did a U.S. version, which turned into Fuse, which became shit, the actual Much Music in Canada, that shit played videos all fucking day.
Oh, really?
They had a rap, and they had the rap hour. They had the heavy metal hour. And I'm talking metal hour. I'm talking they played some, like, mean-ass death metal bullshit on that, right? They took requests. They actually played fucking Insane Clown Posse on the metal show, because the host wanted Insane Clown Posse, so fuck it, here it is. They talked mad shit about Limp Bizkit and shit.
Oh, God. The
and
metal.
They had, like, actual stations specifically for music. Like, if you liked rap and soul, there was a Much Music rap and soul station. There was a Much Music metal channel.
Yeah.
20 of that shit.
I guess I can segue. It's an easy segue. So, guess who was at fucking Kaiju Big Battles event this past week?
Well, I'm guessing to be a musician or a rapper, so...
A musician, rapper, nu metal.
Oh God! Please don't be Fred Durst.
Yes, it was fucking Fred fucking Durst. Yes,
oh God.
He was at the random-ass Kaiju Big Battle.
And here's the thing: is I think the first Limp Bizkit album is really fucking good. But that shit afterwards, when he started leaning too much into white boy rap, that golden nonsense.
Yeah,
I couldn't fuck with that. I mean, the first album had this strangeness to it. Everything sounded so fucking weird on that first album, and he was doing a lot more screaming and yelling like a rocker. But damn it, I don't fuck with anything else Fred Durst after did that.
Hey man, Roland, American Badass man.
My feelings about Roland now are a lot. I'm okay with Nookie now, but I remember buying that album too, and just it was garbage album, and I started to hate those songs. Now I don't have much of a problem with it.
I liked Roland strictly because it was Undertaker's theme.
Yeah, it was fine, and Nookie was fine too. Break Stuff was okay. They all just really felt like. I actually ended up like Rearranged a lot years later. That was one of those albums where at the time I really hated it, but several years later I'm like, well, rock is garbage now. This album's fine. which is actually the first time I heard Little John. I'm like, what did happen to rap? And then like 3 years later, like Little John was just trying to save us before shit got bad.
Shit. Yo. Little John, like, he is a testament to survival in that. Because that era of rap, Atlanta rap, he was able to get out of it and then hit that EDM scene and get mad guap off of that shit. So he's been making paper off the EDM scene for like a good like 5 years now or so. So he's doing it, man.
Yeah,
that turned out for what?
I've talked more about rap with you this on this talk about rap this whole year.
Oh man. Oh yeah. And speaking of more celebrities or whatever popping up at shows, guess who popped up at Friday's PWG All-Star Weekend show?
I saw that. It was fucking Ron Jeremy, right?
Yeah.
Which it looked like he fell asleep before the show started.
Fell asleep.
He was next to Dave Meltzer, apparently.
He fucking fell asleep. Why?
That's old man status.
That's
right there.
Old. He's just too old to be over there, man. He's just way too goddamn old.
And he should have got a nap in before he left.
Yeah, he should have. Yeah. What else happened? And of course, the Jericho Omega shit happened. Whatever.
Work.
Seemed like a work, so I'm not even gonna put dignify too much talk about it, whatever. Just the Bullet Club fanboys just seemed like mad upset about it, which made it even more entertaining than it was. And then,
it also just doesn't make any sense in general. Jericho really thinks of the indies as minor league. He's not going to put Ring of Honor on his cruise, for God's sake.
Right. It's
I mean, if anything, let's be honest. They're probably gonna try to get Kenny Omega on the cruise.
Right.
I mean, for sure they're gonna have the Young Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's
weird. Right. Teddy Hart's wrestling again.
Yeah, it is weird, right?
Oh, and props for Char. Apparently, they're bringing Jody Fleisch back at their show. It means that Jody Fleisch is getting bookings in the States again.
Wow.
AIW booking him for a thing. I'm like, shit.
All these older dudes.
I guess
Chikara
still got some influence going on.
All these older dudes trying to make a comeback.
Yeah. And apparently they're still pretty good. I mean, I'm looking at clips of Teddy Hart. He's still in fucking
insane. Teddy Hart's been doing some shit. I've heard he's been doing some dope shit.
Yeah.
Speaking of older dudes still wrestling and shit, fucking Triple H, who was wrestling in Chile, I guess he replaced AJ Styles when AJ came to Minneapolis for TLC. I think he faced Rusev, and at some point he was dancing in the middle of the ring with the New Day. He was even twerking and shit. Everybody was laughing. Yeah, yeah, he did.
That said, I do like the picture of Rusev with the Usos.
Yeah, that. Oh my god, that. Yo, that should be a trio. That should be a fucking trio right there.
Yeah, Rusev's another guy that booking around him is garbage.
Yeah,
I admit when he first came in the WWE, I didn't like how. I was worried about how they booked him because I knew that they were going to drop the ball. I mean, and his matches at first were very almost basic, and they kept running the same damn feud with him over and over.
Right.
But other than that, he was perfectly solid. But yeah, then you once, could see the crack with got, John Cena feud.
Yeah, especially once he got some personality.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just... I mean, the WWE has guys that just deserve so much... Guys and girls, guys and women, who just deserve so much better.
Yeah. Yep. And, but yeah, after... Triple H did all the twerking and shit. Of course, he had to hit the fucking pedigree. So he hit a pedigree on Kofi and rolled out the ring and missed his way to the back.
Because he's got to get himself over.
Yeah, of course. Also, what else? Impact has officially severed ties with Jeff Jarrett and GFW. In turn, Jeff Jarrett claims that Anthem is out of money. I don't know who the fuck to believe, whatever. But there was other news with Jarrett that was even worse. He went to Canada and was trying to wrestle at a place called Real Canadian Wrestling. The promoter said that he was passed out drunk in the back. When they tried to, like play his theme music for him to come out. He took a while to come out. His opponent had to stall. And once he did come out, they stalled for like 10 minutes before they actually wrestled. And it was clear that he looked under the influence or inebriated when he was wrestling. It just didn't look right at all. There was definitely video. And then the promoter even posted the video of what happened. In rings to show people, like, look, I'm not bullshitting. So, and then he also, like, he was booked for two events, but he only appeared for that one. But Jeff Jarrett eventually denied that any of that should happen and called the promoter an amateur. I don't know how you can fucking deny that shit when there's fucking video evidence.
Video evidence?
Yeah, of him.
Shit, we're in America now, man. No matter what.
Because I saw the fucking video and it just did. Yeah, he just didn't look right in that shit at all. Yeah, he looked like he was off. He definitely looked like he was off. Besides that, Davey Boy Smith Jr., you heard? About what he did for that one girl?
Yeah, he saved her.
He saved her from jumping off a goddamn bridge. So
I think there's supposed to be more going on with that girl, but I couldn't find anything about her. What exactly was going on?
Yeah. All I know is that she committed suicide or something like that. Somebody said something about like them mentioning her weight or whatever, and showing her face and all this other stuff like that. All this other shit. I don't know what the fuck is going on, but he's gotten a decent amount of press for it. Whatever, so I guess good on him, I guess.
Yeah, though, for him, I'm not sure what it'll lead to, because one of the Daivaris pretty much, like, what, saved somebody's life on a train.
He fought off this one dude on a train. I think he put him in, like, a headlock or something like that, or a sleeper. No, it was a sleeper hold.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so he knocked him.
He should have got brought back as the hero Muslim in WWE, but you know how they are.
Yeah. Yeah. They could still have that hero Muslim with Mustafa
Ali.
Yeah. They
still man's a fucking chance. Superhero.
Yeah, and he a cop. White folks love cops.
Yeah. But they only care about Blue Lives Matter when it's white people.
Oh yeah. That's
and they're trying to make fun of Black Lives Matter.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Even though we all know that most white cops are killed by white people.
Yeah. And then what else? Another news. Apparently Clippers are having a WWE night on Saturday, and they are calling it Clipper Mania. So that's Staples Center. So if you want to attend that shit. You can, I guess. I don't know what fucking time it is because I don't really care, but Clipper Mania is going down. Apparently, like, I think if you buy tickets at a certain point or whatever, you can get an exclusive Clipper Mania t-shirt. So, should be something. And then an indie promotion in Atlanta called Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment. What?
I've heard of them. They're supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, I guess. Huh. Oh, so they're actually pretty good. Oh, one funny thing.
Yeah, I only heard about them because I know Jimmy Rave's was the champion there for a while. I caught a couple of the matches down there. But they have but they were having quite a buzz, but they were, you know, it's one of those things where it's hard out for some of those southern promotions.
Right, because it's smaller, yeah. But they're having an event on the 13th of November, and you wouldn't guess in years this random ass appearance. Fucking Lil Scrappy. Lil fucking, we were just talking about Lil John, but Lil Scrappy. Oh man,
Lil. Yeah, fucking, I haven't heard that name in a while. Like it was like,
see,
black
folks,
that was some years back.
Black folks, that's like their frequent Twitter all the time. They know about Lil Scrappy because he's always on that fucking like Love and Hip Hop show nowadays. That's the thing. A lot of these washed up rappers and shit like that, they end up on Love and Hip Hop. And so that's what he's been doing. So he's like airing out his family drama, whether fake or real, whatever, because, you know, they fabricate some of that shit, too. That Love and Hip Hop show, whatever. So I thought it was interesting that Lil Scrappy is appearing at this fucking indie promotion at random or whatever. But the Lil Scrappy, man, he was the shit. Back in the day, like, during that weird era, I think he was, like, a precursor to, like, Waka Flocka for, because they had, like, the same type of energy. But, like, I remember he had that song, No Problems. That shit was hard as hell. And then, of course, Money in the fucking Bank. Remember that shit?
I think this was the period in which I wasn't quite listening or knew a lot of stuff. I barely know Stan.
Yeah.
But I'm actually on ATL Wrestling's Twitter, and they actually have it pinned that Lil Scrappy is going to be there.
Okay. Yeah, so...
And the show's called Too Sweet, I guess.
Oh, really?
I'm looking through some stuff.
Anybody?
It says Stevie there, too.
Who? Stevie J? What the fuck?
Yeah, Stevie J from Love and Hip Hop Atlanta will be appearing at Too Sweet at once.
Stevie J, what is going on?
Chip Day, that's the promotion where Chip Day does a lot of work. Sugar Dunkerton's down there too.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy Rave, of course, because I think actually Jimmy Rave might have been booking them for a while. Jeez. But Jimmy Rave wrestling. What's his name? Is it Oliver Grimsley? Oh, the Carney. I don't know. Is it Oliver Grimsley?
Yeah, Oliver Grimsley, I think.
Yeah. That Kira Hogan.
The fuck happened?
So, I mean, like I said, I've seen a couple matches. Darby Allin works there too, so they have a pretty strong roster. In fact, it might be one of these guys are kind of breaking out too.
Okay.
But yeah. And Murder One, who's like an old ass indie wrestler. He's the guy who actually changed Brave. Apparently, he's still wrestling down there too. Yeah. So yeah,
he must be the equivalent of the Bruiser, because we have a guy in MCW called the Bruiser, who's been wrestling there for God knows how long, and he's the one who trained Leo Rush and Dr. Clark, aka Velveteen Dream.
That's pretty interesting. I'm looking up Murder One. I know he's a black wrestler. That's all I know about him, and that he trained me Rave. Murder One, he was also an NWA Wildside guy, which is where guys like AJ Styles and Jimmy Rave came out of. I remember I never saw any of the NWA Wildside stuff, but I know for a while that was like the NWA promotion that a lot, because they were coming out with a lot of the big southern southern wrestlers.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at you, man. He actually went side for a while, too. Huh, that's interesting. Let's see if there's any facts and stats on this guy. Probably not. But yeah, older Southern wrestler. But yeah, we don't talk about Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, but they got a lot of good guy people down there, and they've been running in Atlanta for a while now. They're a buzz company down there. So, you know, if you're in Atlanta, needs a wrestling, Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment.
But for fucking it. Stevie J and Rappy, I can't get over
it. You kind of want to see it now, don't you?
Yeah, man. Shit. Like, what are they going to do?
I don't know. Maybe they'll be in a wrestling match against one another. They'll be in a tag match. They'll team with one guy each. Nah.
Wow. But, yeah, but, man, I still think Lil Scrappy's Money in the Bank should have been the fucking Money in the Bank theme song the year it came out. That shit was so hot. That was like Lil Scrappy's like biggest hit. And I think it ended up on SmackDown, one of the SmackDown versus Raw games, but it didn't end up on the fucking pay-per-view. I'm still pissed
about
that.
Maybe someone said it was too black.
It was too urban.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how things kind of turn out. Oh. With some of these people running these anything. I read a whole article about, you know, NFL right now and the ratings going down. They were talking about how baseball's ratings went down because they kind of rejected blackness. How I didn't realize, but white people lost their shit when was it Daryl Strawberry? Somebody wore his cap backwards.
Yes. See, that's the problem. Like, he's like super tight on like traditionalist like bullshit. You can't.
Yeah, the article
anything.
I looked at posted an old Chris Rock bit where he said it used to be okay to be a black baseball fan. Now, because he was a real big Mets fan, but now you can't even talk about baseball if you're black, really. And how the number of black players like drastically fell. Now let's see if I can segue this to wrestling. Dasher has this. Bam. There you go. Yeah.
And then the only other piece of news I had was Marty Scurll got on Twitter and talked about how Bullet Club quote unquote made rest fun. I don't know.
So this is what was pissing you off?
Yeah, man. Like, wrestling was fucking fun before Bullet Club. I'm sorry. And without Bullet Club, it's still fucking fun.
Yeah, we got Los Ingobernables. What the fuck are they talking about?
Oh, fuck. Because that's the problem with Bullet Club. Like, yeah, Bullet Club's supposed to be this cool, hip, like, stable, but they're acting like they're fucking God's gift. And that rubs me the wrong way. They act like they are the end-all, be-all of, like, coolness in wrestling right now.
On one hand, I agree with you. On the other hand, it almost makes sense that that's exactly what they are. Yeah. Because they are supposed to represent, in some ways, the worst aspects of Western wrestling. I think the problem now is that the satire is lost on a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I mean, to me, that's with, like, Skrull and them saying it, I buy it more as a gimmick. But the audience for it, it's like, come on, really? You do realize that they represent the worst aspects of professional wrestling. Not right. That they're bad. I like Bullet Club. I just, the gimmick is NWO or DJ Generation X at its height when you were getting tired of it.
See, but the thing is that, like, in the earlier days of Bullet Club, when they were doing the satire, it was almost serious satire. It wasn't like, Bullet Club now feels like not a joke, but an in-joke. I don't know. It's really hard to explain, but, like, I don't know. I think it's just too heavy on it, you know?
And I honestly think they would have probably have ended Bullet Club if they weren't the main international representation of New Japan.
Right.
Because, logically, this really should be coming to blows between the two different types of Bullet because of their importance in selling the product to the American audience. And when I say important, I mean there is a really high probability that New Japan is going to do a show during WrestleMania weekend. I'm not sure if it's true, but they have a big announcement at Power Struggle, and it might pertain to their return to the States. So, yeah, I can see. But I think that also because the New Japan probably just doesn't even fucking care about the American.
Right.
So they're probably just like, whatever, right?
Right.
Because they obviously, in their minds, it's Los Ingobernables first, Bullet Club as a unit distant second. However, their top guy in Bullet Club is fourth among their top guys.
Right.
So it's like the stables, it's Los Ingobernables, Bullet Club, Chaos, Suzuki-Goon, everyone else. Wrestlers, it's arguably Naito, Okada, Tanahashi, then Omega, but shit, I if Kota Ibushi would stay with the company, I'd put Kota Ibushi as number four over Omega.
Yeah.
And who knows if it's true that Ibushi has signed a new contract. If Ibushi wins the fucking title at Power Struggle, I will believe he won. If Ibushi wins a fucking singles title in New Japan between now and Wrestle Kingdom, I will believe he signed a new contract, and I will put him number four above Kenny Omega in the company. All right. We got anything to do some cards?
That's it for me.
All right. Let's see. I actually bothered to look up the cards. We already gave you the one for Wrestling Revolver. But we got a couple from Chikara. Our old Tumblr bunny, Haydn Karana, is apparently going to be at these Chicago shows.
Oh, shit. So, I forgot about her.
Yeah. She left Tumblr because Tumblr was awful. I can't blame her.
Yeah, because I remember it was her and another girl that was called Ultraman is Black.
Yeah, she was getting, like, stalker harassed.
Yeah, she was getting stalker harassed. It was really bad. And then eventually she had stopped, like, blogging about, like, Chikara altogether and, like, changed it to, like, a Metal Gear Solid blog. And then after that, yeah. I think she was still getting harassed. Even when she changed her blog.
Yeah.
And then she just disappeared.
That guy was not quitting. Every time he got an account kicked off, he'd be back and he would be posting her Twitter feed shit on his stuff. It was garbage. Yeah. All right. So it's going to be two shows in Chicago, one at 3 and one at 7, because they like to do the two short. Because a lot of Chikara shows tend to only have about 7 matches and run about 2 hours. Which I guess works, especially because I don't think they really charge that much until, you know, it's like a big tournament or, you know, a season finale type thing.
Right.
So, it's actually, the first show looks, one of their newer guys, I think he was trained by them, Travis Huckabee, will be facing Everett Connors, who's another one of Elgin's students. He's, Connors isn't getting hyped that Reed, Curt Stallion, and Paco do, but I guess they like him over in Chikara. And and I guess he's one half of the tag team champions with Elgin and Glory, so there's that. I've seen one match with him. He's all right. Missile Assault Man versus Murloc, the Carnies versus Crummles and Defarge, Space Monkey versus Jimmy. Leary and Crummles and Defarge are all Chikara guys for sure. Oleg and Cobalt versus the Osirian Portal. I'm not quite sure how. Sure, Moss has left and he's wrestling without the mask now, so I don't know what's going on.
Moss is, I think, he's going by, like, I think it's Deshaun Pratt now?
Yeah, sounds right.
That's his name now, yeah.
And besides,
he follows me on Twitter.
And also, because I think one of their guys, Whisper, had taken over Ophidian's identity for all. But here's the interesting thing. The main event is Dasher Hatfield versus Moose. So that is your first card of the Chicago show. The second card, let's go. Mr. Touchdown versus the Proletariat Boar of Moldova. Solo Darling versus Hollow Wicket. Icarus versus Rory Gulak, who's also training at the Chikara right now. Two of the members of their trio right now, the Cyberhawks 2000. I haven't seen these guys, but I like their look. They all look like they're from some bad 70s anime superhero shit. Versus Hermit Crab and Cajun Crawdad. Hype Rockwell versus Race Jackson. They used to be NRG, the tag team. And the main event is Fire Ant versus Juan Francisco de Coronado, who I believe this might be a title match. So both shows, if you like Chikara, sound pretty decent. Got Beyond Wrestling here. shit. Okay, load page. I had you guys up. The first show's called Denim Recruits. I don't know what that is. All right, we have The Hit Squad versus Hate Club, which is Nick Hatred and our boy Nick Gage.
Oh, God. How'd they book him? Why'd they book those guys?
I don't know, but apparently people like booking Nick Cage. I mean, Nick Gage. Yeah. I mean, and I guess he works fine. I mean, he's wrestled a lot of dudes. I mean, I think he called out fucking Veda Scott for a match, but that'd be interesting. Joey Janela versus Michael Elgin. Chris Dickinson versus Darby Allin. Team Pazuzu versus Team Game Changer. I don't know. Team Pazuzu is part of EYFBO. Is that them? Yeah. Martin Stone, who sometimes in NXT, sometimes he's not in Silver.
Speaking of which, he is tagging with Oney Lorcan as Danny Burch on NXT television this week.
No, that's cool. Desmond Xavier versus the guy I'm pretty sure a month or two ago I said, where the fuck did this guy go? But Desmond Xavier is taking on Senshi. Remember him?
Oh, Senshi?
Shinron.
Oh, Shinron?
Yeah, I believe he goes by Senshi now.
I thought he was like banished to like Chile or something like that.
Maybe, but I believe this is the same guy.
Shit, that's the black guy.
Yep, with the crazy high-flying moves and flexibility.
Yeah, that's the one.
He was, like, all hype for a minute. Everybody liked him, and then he just fell off.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck. Because, like, I think he was working, like, Chile and doing some Chikara stuff, but then he didn't do too much.
And he was, in Beyond, too. And then
that was after he broke his fucking neck.
Yeah.
Because remember that incident? Everybody remembers that shit. When I think he went for, like, some, like, crazy, like, triple, I don't know if it was like a triple moonsault type thing or like a 450 type thing, but he ended up like landing square on his head in high velocity. Almost fucking paralyzed himself. That shit was the sickest shit.
I think I heard about it, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, and that was before he put on a mask. But yeah, he did that shit, and it looked like he almost killed himself. That was the craziest shit I ever seen. But he survived, man. He got his neck all fixed up, and he's been flipping ever since.
All right, we also got everybody's favorite fat ass white girl, Mephisto, and Jordynne Grace versus Maria Manic and Penelope Ford. We got Jonathan Grisham on the show, named Brandon Watts. Johnny Cockstrong versus Dick Justice, and a tag team called Amityville Project versus Will Be in Action. Okay, whatever for that name, Will Be in Action. I don't know. That sounded kind of dumb. I don't know who any of those are. Though, one of the guys from Amityville Project looked familiar, but I'm not sure what his name is. All right, for the other card for Beyond Wrestling, Apocalypse Dudes, we have Zack Sabre Jr. Martin Stone. That actually sounds pretty good. We got the Unbreakable Fucking Machines versus EYFBO. JT Dunn versus Matt Riddle. Team Pog versus the Hooligans. Doom Patrol. Okay, I guess that's Jucka with a new look. All right, that makes sense. He has hair on top of him.
Oh, yeah. He's been getting his hair now.
Yeah, because the first picture I saw with it was with him and EYFBO, and I'm like, I don't know that guy. But yeah, Doom Patrol versus Viking War Party. Jonathan Grisham versus Ieta in the House. Is that his name? Okay. Sure, dude. John Silver versus Ace Romero. I know Ace Romero is a CZW guy. Dick Justice versus Cassidy. And then Amityville Project versus Jay Freddy and Rory Gulak. Oh, I get it. The last one was Amityville Project Will Be in Action, so it's whoever those guys are will fight somebody. All right. I don't know who Jay Freddy is, but Rory Gulak is good. Dante Caballero versus Sage Phillips, who is the boyfriend for one of these feminist wrestling ladies I follow on Twitter. So, yeah, her boyfriend's a wrestler, and he's on a Beyond show, so good for that guy. All right. Who else do we have going on? Oh, and we have Ring of Honor, which is their show's on the 28th. Okay. Soaring Eagle Cup, never heard of it. They have booked first round match, Cody versus Christopher Daniels, Matt Taven versus Jay Lethal, Flip Gordon versus Dalton Castle, and Frankie Kazarian versus Jay White. Also signed to appear, it says Bully Ray, Jay Briscoe, Nick Jackson, Motor City Machine Guns, and Silas Young. So there, those are the cards that I was able to look up and find because I remember other promotions exist. So that's it. I guess plugs. Follow me on Instagram, Westside.Goth. I'm also on Twitter, where most of what I do is retweet wrestling gifs and complain about how America's going to hell. Though I did mention that someone changed the overhead music at my job to put real music on. Part of it's actual Halloween music, so they've been playing Thriller, songs from Nightmare Before Christmas. They played Rockwell's "Who's Somebody's Watching Me."
Oh, that's my shit.
Yeah, they played some fucking Screaming Jay Hawkins songs.
Michael Jackson was on that.
Yeah. They played some Screaming Jay Hawkins, and when I looked that up, I found out Fats Domino just passed away today. So RIP to the legend, Fats Domino. Play all their regular ass rock songs too. I'm like, did they hire somebody to put some decent music on? Did someone complain about the garbage? This is great. So Instagram, Twitter, and I don't know, next week I will give you all my list of the 31 movies I watched during Halloween month. Nice. I just finished Prom Night yesterday, classic slasher, but I would suggest you skip it and watch, a Friday the 13th movie instead.
I haven't watched any movies. The only thing I've watched horror related that I can remember was freaking the TV show. There's this TV show on Sci-Fi called Blood Drive.
I heard about that, but I kind of skipped it.
It's a grindhouse thing. It's really like campy and shit. Basically, the premise of it is that they're in like a death race type thing scenario where like you're driving and you have this like special chip in your neck. If you get too far from your partner, stuff starts going off and it can eventually blow your head off. So you're driving and you have multiple stops. Each stop, the last car that makes it gets killed. They die. And they just keep doing that until you reach the end where you are awarded millions of dollars, blah, blah, blah. And one thing of note is that they're living in a world where gas prices are extremely, extremely high. And they've modified vehicles to be able to sustain themselves, not on gasoline, but you guessed it, blood. And not just any, and blood is fucking blood. So, like, the cars are like fucking like monsters in a way where you have to, they're like fucking animals that you have to feed human flesh. So, like, you'll basically take somebody and literally shove them in the fucking engine because the engine, like, opens up like its fucking teeth. And it just chows down on the person and extracts, and then the blood fills up into the system. So, but it's really, really campy, dude. Like it's campy like that. I want to say, what was that other campy-ass thing that I saw not too long ago? Because they had another. Did you see the new Death Race? They came out maybe earlier this year or last year.
I've only ever seen the original Death Race and then the first of the new films.
Yeah, they had a new one that had nothing to do with the original, nothing to do with the Jason Statham one. And it was a completely campy-ass thing. But that one, I could compare it to that. And then, have you ever seen that movie Iron Sky?
The Nazi one, right?
The Nazi one, yeah.
Yeah, not only do I have it on DVD, I also have...
Yeah, it's campy like that, too. And then...
What I like about that movie
the black guy turned the Nazi woman into a...
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that. You know this
one... Of course, she was one of those Nazis who realized Nazi... The weird way they did the Nazis where they weren't, you know, aware of the actual history of Nazis.
Yeah.
It was a strange movie, but it was good. Yeah. It was fun. Yeah.
You know there's supposed to be a sequel, but he's not in it, though. That sucks. I think it's featured... I mean, like, the setting is, like, 20 years later, so I don't know what the fuck happened to him. But I think...
I'm not really all interested in a sequel. It was one of those things where I'm like, no, the one film is perfect in its ridiculousness, especially the idea that they bleached the black guy's skin white.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
And I also like that it's a German movie and they put a black lead in it. I thought that shit was brilliant.
Yeah.
See, that's progressive. We would have done that movie here, he still would have been
and
white.
And they were aware of American politics and how ridiculous it was for the fact that they had fucking Sarah Palin as the crazy leader of the world. This is pre-Trump's, like, pre-Trump, like, even considering running for president. So, like, if Iron Sky was made, like, around this time, it probably would have been Trump as president instead.
Yeah. I also appreciate the kind of, the band they use that composed the music, Liebeck, is a, like, an old German industrial band, and they have that sort of, my understanding is they sort of brought some of that paramilitary, not Nazi inspired, but that sort of weird fascist inspired fascism, because they kind of invented that at their time.
Yeah.
So they were kind of in on the, because they're a group that's very satirical in themselves.
Yeah.
And they're perfect because they're also the band that influenced Rammstein. And Hollow Wicked actually sung as his entrance music back in the day, too.
Oh, nice.
See? Turned it back to wrestling.
Yeah, that's right. Baller.
Go see Iron Sky. It was on Netflix for the longest, so it was. Might still be on there.
That's where I first saw it.
A ton of evil car movies and race movies too. I watched John Carpenter's Christine, based on the Stephen King novel. It was okay, but like I said, I'll talk about all those movies because I'm going to be done on Tuesday.
Yeah. This is another car movie. It's not horror related, but I still want to see it. It's called Wheelman. With the guy who was in The Purge.
The Punisher. Wait, is that The Punisher?
No, this was the guy who played, I think it's Frank, his name's Frank Grillo. He was, whatchamacallit, fucking Crossbones in America. Yeah.
Another character that deserved better.
Yeah, my God. Yeah. That fucking sucked. One thing, and then, another movie related thing. I had no idea that apparently John Cena is in, Daddy's Home 2.
Because
they started like advertising more, like they had another trailer come out, and apparently he's the third dad in it. So you got the biological one of the kids, then you is Mark Wahlberg, Will Ferrell is the stepdad of both of the kids. You got fucking John Lithgow is. Will Ferrell's dad is Mark Wahlberg's dad, but John Cena is the biological father of one of the other kids. So you got heads galore, whatever.
See, my problem with that is those trailers seem like they happened like 5 months ago, and I'm only hearing about the movie again just recently.
Yeah, like, that's basically what happened.
The movie came out, and then I'm like, yeah.
I don't even know when the movie's coming out, but I've seen that commercial for three times in the past week.
I have. And I don't care. Yeah.
John Cena. But John Cena's getting that work, man. I checked his net worth. Really, his net worth is like $55 million.
Oh.
Yeah, his net worth is 55. Didn't get a net worth for Roman Reigns, but... Randy Orton's net worth is $11 million, and Brock Lesnar's net worth is actually only 22, which makes sense because, he's a big draw guy, but the fact of the matter is he's not doing fucking movies like John Cena. He's not advertising for like Bobby Cena. He's not advertising for fucking pistachio nuts like John Cena. He's not having his music features like car commercials like John Cena. Basically, John Cena's fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have his own TV show like John Cena. Because John Cena still got that American Grit show. Shit, I think he has season 2 now. That's supposed to happen. I don't know if it has happened or whatever, but yeah, it's a thing. But yeah. Yeah, looks like that's the end of it. So,
I already did my plug, so it's up to you now to take it all home.
Yeah, westside.golf on
Instagram.
Yeah, and of course, Rant EM Radio, at Rant EM Radio on Twitter. You can check us out and listen to us on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Rant EM Radio. You can check out The Rant, Freaky Things and Geeks, Tournament Throwbacks, yada, yada, yada. For me, doomsday5.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube is my primary channel. Secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG's Gorilla, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. So, yeah, we're gonna end this on a high note, so hey, 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 hey. Smoke weed every day.